This week, we're starting an election series called Voices from Here. We'll listen to five conversations with people from across the Puget Sound area. Each of them represents a different walk of life, and they'll tell us about what's on their mind as the country prepares to elect a new president. But before we hear it, we want to spend a few moments with David Domke. He's a professor of political communication at the University of Washington and has spent years researching U.S. politics and, more importantly, how we talk about U.S. politics. 88.5's Ed Ronco went to his office to get a better picture of Washington's more than 4.2 million voters.
What do you see? Give me a sense of the issues and the constituencies they represent.
Well, I think it's a puzzle is what it is. There's a lot of different pieces to it. And you certainly can find very different voters if you move 50 miles one way or another. So here in Seattle, you know, you have one of the most liberal voting populations in the country. Once you move outside of Seattle, though, into broader King County, things begin to get much more moderate, and you begin to get into suburbs, and you begin to get into different tax questions, and issues begin to change. And then when you move outside of King County, you know, you begin to get into much bigger concerns, gun rights. You begin to get into agricultural questions, the ways in which property taxes and resources are distributed, all kinds of stuff. So I think, you know, wherever you focus the lens, you get a different slice of the population, which just so happens that the largest body of people live in this metropolitan area so that they make the state, when it's a statewide vote, more Democratic.
Are there common values across the whole state?
Certainly. There's common values across the country. And this is where there is kind of a truism in American politics that the deeper you go in terms of values and identity, the more common ground you have. That at the least deep or the more superficial level, that's where our differences deeply emerge. And they can be as obvious as the way we look different from each other, to our language, to which kind of religious traditions or not you might subscribe to. But the deeper you go, you begin to get to issues of everybody wants security. Everybody wants to be safe. Everybody wants for their kids a better life than they have for themselves, right?
So, when you say security, are you talking actual security? Is that the broad sense of the word, or are you talking physical safety?
I mean it in both, actually. Mm-hmm. You have national physical security, safe in your home, safe from a country, as a country from attack, but also economic security, to have a job, to be able to count on an income. You know, anybody who's an adult wants both of those. They do. How we get there, though, begins to be where we divide and disagree and get there. So do we need a stronger military or not? What, you know, all of that.
Over the next week, we're going to be hearing from people in our area who come from various walks of life. Mm-hmm. And have various concerns on their mind. When you are listening to someone talk about their own politics, how do you approach that conversation? Because I imagine you do a lot of it.
And I do workshops, and I work with community activists in a variety of arenas. And kind of we have a template for how we kind of meet somebody, which is after we talk to them a little bit, we say, but what is this issue really about? Or what are these issues really about? And so, you know, they might be talking about education, but what is it really about? Well, it's really about, again, a better life for their kids, or about their child being able to get a job. And so the reality is that I'm always interested in those deeper questions, because we are divided so obviously at the one level. But as a country, there's tremendous unity around issues of freedom and a desire for justice, those ideals that call to us. And that's where I'm interested in, because it's too easy to divide us. I'm more interested in the things that bring us together.
Over the next week, as we listen to these profiles, and I know you haven't heard them yet, I haven't heard them yet, but I would take some of what you've just said as kind of advice to our listeners and to me in how we should be listening to these conversations.
I would say that as we listen to them, that we do what a civil rights leader, Bernard Lafayette, has kind of taught me to do, which is to listen so that we're changed. So I'm not just listening to you so that I can figure out what I'm going to say back to you, but I'm listening so that I can really deeply hear your heart and your mind. And ultimately, I'll be changed when I do that. And you, knowing or believing that I'm doing that, will also be changed, right? So there's this, that's the dynamic I'm going for, and that's the way I would listen to these stories, is to try to listen so that there's something that I walk away from impacted by. I'm really seeking that.
We're sitting in your office right now, and there's a poster over your shoulder here with Lyndon Johnson and Martin Luther King, and beneath it says, united we shall overcome. And they're in the Oval Office.
I think it's far more work and far stronger leadership to find the points of commonality and to be determined to get us to them. And I don't think that I don't think enough of our national political leadership is driven towards that right now. And so that's the work that I try to do as a professor and as a citizen, is to say, you know what, I totally know that we disagree in the way that we're talking right now, but there are some things that we have common ground on, and we need to be able to find that and to make that the crux of our relationship. And that's the work that I think this country has to do.
David Domke, thank you for your time.
Oh, yeah, sure. Thank you.
That was David Domke, professor of political communication at the University of Washington, speaking with 88.5's Ed Ronco.